affiliates or sponsors of this program.
Welcome to Shooter's Corner, your program for conversation on guns, shooting, and your Second Amendment rights. Brought to you by Price RV, Auto Trim Design, by Rogers Auto Repair, and by Frontier Outfitters. Now, your host, Chuck Indereeden.
Hi, welcome, listeners. It's currently 15 below here in Fairbanks, like Frozen Banks, Alaska. Like, and I got to be honest with you, I am sick and freaking tired of the cold. But we have Cindy in the studio with us today, wearing her polar bear jacket, looking all warm and lovely.
It is cold, and he's giving me his cold. We're doing good.
We did kind of have the sniffles over the past couple weeks and stuff, and I think we just pass it back and forth. It's like the perpetual like flu among married couples or something. I don't know what ends up happening, but we had Matt over this weekend, so, well, not that we kissed or anything, but he'd probably be catching something soon.
I hope not. Alex comes home with
some... We are infantry guys, though, so who knows?
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised.
It's not like we spooned or anything.
You know, maybe it's subconsciously we did. Hopefully I don't get sick. Alex comes home with some, like, dystopian black plague sickness every other month, so I'm hoping nothing happens this month.
Yeah, it's kind of like when we were on deployments or something like that.
Yeah.
Or when you got the, what was that, that smallpox shot.
Yeah.
Like, don't touch anybody you love. Yeah, okay. What about the others then? All right, but we're here at the KFAR studio here in Fairbanks, Alaska. Thank you for joining us. And if you have any questions, feel free to call in at 907-458-TALK. That's 8255. Hey, Matt, by chance, is our phone plugged in this time?
It is. Let me press some buttons.
I wasn't here last Thursday to keep him in line.
Like, like, we didn't get any calls last week.
And it wasn't me.
Like, all of a sudden, we like looked down. I was like, all right, I can...
Yeah.
Phone was unplugged.
Must have
been the people
so
that were in the studio before us didn't want to take any calls or something.
No, it's working. The lights are lighting up finally, so we're good.
Yeah, we have a big announcement.
What?
Chuck and I just celebrated our 44th anniversary.
Hold on, just hold
yesterday.
Off on that though. Like, I got a special editorial.
Oh,
so
you
don't
do.
You go getting too far ahead on me, girl. All right. But you can always listen live to us at KFARradio.com. Just click on that big orange ball that says listen live. And we also have a couple apps out there, one for the iOS. That's what I just have
iPhone.
To brain fart on that.
You're not bringing in your smart waters. That's why.
I did. I brought my Celsius in, but it's a Canadian smart water thing, so I don't know if that's working or not. But.
Yuck.
I think the cold is...
Let me take a swig. There we go.
It's got to be. All right.
Yeah, or you got the Android versions as well, so you can always listen to KFAR Radio live wherever you're at, even if it's on a Starlink out in the middle of BFE, Arizona. All right, so anywho, let's start the show. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Reminders for the firearms community here in the great city of Fairbanks, Alaska. The Alaska Outdoor Mentorship Program will be, well, that's tonight, March 12th, from 5:30 to 7 p.m. That's 1730 to 1900 tonight at the TVSA range. That's 1230 TVSA Way here in Fairbanks. And it's going to be a bear baiting class. So I think that's for, like, real bears, not the Yogi Bear. And I think I talked about that before. Like,
yeah.
It's not a picnic basket baiting station.
No. Jar of honey.
Yeah. TVSA will be having its spring 2026 gun show on April 18th and 19th. The show times will be from 10 to 5 on the 18th and 11 to 4 on the 19th. Admission will be $5 per adult, $4 for active military. I believe they're still looking for some vendors. I was texting with Amelia Dead, the gun show coordinator, and she said that there were still a few tables available, and the price of a table is only $75. We're going to have Amelia and David Dwyer on the show next week, next Thursday. So we'll have them as guests, and we'll be talking about their gun show and everything that's going on over at TVSA Range as well. So they also have public shooting hours on Thursday from 6 to 8. Yeah, that's good news. All right. Don't forget that C4 Training Group is hosting the Active Self-Protection Skills Summit here in Fairbanks on June 20th and 21st. This exclusive immersive training event is designed to sharpen your defensive skills using ASP, that's Active Self-Protection, evidence-based techniques. Experience two transformative days of professional instruction tailored for real-world self-defense scenarios. The instructors will be Neil Widener and Chris Bean. Go to our website, course calendar. Click on the link there, or you can go directly to activeselfprotection.com/shop to sign up for that class. And our ACHP class for 21-22 March is sold out, so our next dates are in April. And you can find those at C4 Training Group. Click on the course calendar and scroll down, and you will find April. And it is starting to sell out as well. All right. This week in firearms history. March 10th, 1607, arrival of the Virginia Company with the first firearms in English colonial America. We talked about this a little bit, I think, during our Thanksgiving special one time.
Yes, we did.
About the different guns and stuff like that. But the Virginia Company explorers aboard the ships Susan Constant, Godspeed, and Discovery arrived in Jamestown Island, Virginia, establishing the first permanent English colony in North America. Along their supplies were the earliest documented firearms brought to the colonies, including muskets equipped with matchlock, snap pounce, which was an early flintlock precursor, or wheel lock ignition systems. These weapons were essential for defense against potential threats from Native American tribes and wildlife, as well for hunting. It was the introduction of the firearm use in colonial America, influencing military tactics, trade, and conflicts like the Anglo-Powhatan Wars. While not an invention, this event represented a key development in the adoption and proliferation of European gun technology in the New World. Yeah, interesting. Probably much more interesting was on March 15th, 1911, the final field trials for the Colt Model 1911 pistol. At Springfield Armory in Massachusetts, the U.S. Army conducted a decisive endurance test between the Colt pistol, which was designed by John Moses Browning, and the Savage Model 1907. Each firearm was subjected to a grueling 6,000-round torture test, fired continuously with cooling brakes and water. The Colt performed flawlessly without a single malfunction, while the Savage experienced multiple jams and failures. Well, nothing's changed.
Yeah, no, nothing.
I guess SIG wasn't around then either. This trial, overseen personally by Browning, highlighted the pistol's reliability, short recoil operation, and the .45 ACP caliber for superior stopping power. The results directly led to the Army's formal adoption of the model of 1911, later the M-1911, on March 29, 1911, replacing the .38 caliber revolvers. It became the standard U.S. military sidearm for over 70 years. All right, cool. And like I already mentioned, we got Amelia Dell and David Dwyer coming on next week. That's like my little segment there. And then I have a special editorial. So I got kind of like beat up this morning, Matt.
He did.
I did. Cindy chastised me because I didn't post anything on social media about our anniversary. So
I did, though.
We wrote this up.
Oh.
In an era where fleeting commitments often dominate the headlines, it's refreshing and profoundly inspiring to pause and honor a union that has stood the test of time, trials, and triumphs. Yesterday marked the 44th anniversary of my marriage to Cindy, a milestone not just of years, but of shared resilience, unwavering support, and boundless love. As we reflect on this journey, it's clear that our story is one of partnership in its truest form, a testament to what happens when two people commit to facing life's battles and joys side by side. Cindy's role in my life has been nothing short of extraordinary. For 24 years, she stood by me through the rigors of a military career, enduring deployments, relocations, and the uncertainties that come with serving our country. Her strength was my anchor during those demanding times, turning potential hardships into opportunities for growth. Then, as I transitioned to civilian life, she remained my steadfast companion through 19 years with the state, where we've navigated the complexities of public service together. Her insight, encouragement, and quiet fortitude were instrumental in every success, reminding me daily that true achievement is rarely solitary. Beyond our professional paths, Cindy has been my equal partner in ventures that reflect our shared passions. Together, we've built and led the C4 Training Group, channeling our experiences into helping others develop skills, resilience, and leadership. Her contributions have been pivotal, blending her wisdom with mine to create something meaningful and impactful. And now, as we close a chapter on my state career and embrace my status as a retired soldier, we're poised for new, exciting adventures. This year feels like a fresh beginning. Free from the demands of structured service, we're ready to explore uncharted territories, whether through travel, new projects, or simply savoring the quiet moments we've earned. What makes our bond enduring isn't just the milestones, but the everyday choices, the laughter and chaos, the support and silence, and the mutual respect that has deepened with each passing year. Cindy isn't just my wife, she's my confidant, my collaborator, and my greatest ally. In a world that often prioritizes the individual, our story underscores the power of partnership, of two lives intertwined, lifting each other higher. As we look ahead, I'm filled with gratitude and optimism. Here's to Cindy, to 44 remarkable years, and to the countless adventures yet to come. May our journey inspire others to cherish the ones who walk beside them through every season of life. I love you, babe.
I love you, too.
Good. Can we go into our first break?
Yeah, we can.
Let's go into our first break, and then I'll come back with my super serious editorial, because I got to really lambash freaking Virginia again. The bastion of freedom is crumbling right before our very eyes.
Virginia's at it again.
Virginia. I think all of our founders would roll over in their graves if they saw what was happening now. All right, we'll be right back here at Shooter's Corner with Chuck, Cindy, and Matt after this break.
Be it work or play, your truck bed will take a beating. You need to protect your investment with an Arctic Spray-On Bedliner from Auto Trim Design. This Arctic Spray-On Bedliner was developed as a commercial coating for use on the Alaska pipeline, which is constantly exposed to our extreme Arctic conditions. Why should you settle for anything sub-quality? Get your Arctic Spray-On Bedliner today at Auto Trim Design. And as Ben says, we'll be here when the other guys are gone.
Customized by Auto Trim Design.
While your RV enjoys some well-deserved downtime this winter, treat your traveling buddy to some TLC at Price RV. You'll be road ready for spring RVing. Use your off-season wisely. Let Price RV inspect your appliances, repair cracked water lines and roof leaks. Price RV's advanced diagnostics quickly identifies any problems, prevent annoying drips, rattles, and hums before they become expensive problems. Be road ready this spring. Visit Price RV on Marble Court in North Pole.
What does it look like when your faithful friend in the driveway has an off day? Well, it looks like no fun, like bumming a ride to work, the store, rescheduling lunch with your yoga instructor, all because your four-wheeled pal is waiting for parts? We do our own routine maintenance, but our chariot depends on us to schedule that for them. Airboat and inboard service, too. Family-owned and operated. Keeping Fairbanks on the road since 1967. Rogers Auto Repair.
KFAR weather.
Mainly clear skies today with daytime highs approaching 4 above. Winds out of the north around 5 miles per hour. Partly cloudy tonight, lows dip down to about 25 below. More clouds than sun tomorrow, highs level off around 2 above. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
Ooh. Oh, that was sweet.
Glad I got that out before Matt powered up that mic. All right, so.
I don't hear anything.
Plug your thing in.
It is plugged in.
Is your volume turned up on yours?
Mm-hmm. Can you hear me? Okay, yeah. Now I can.
It's like an AT&T commercial.
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Yeah, we're on air now.
Hey, so last week I made an announcement reference. Let's see, Alaska Senate Bill 243 and Senate Bill 203. It's funny, we actually got some feedback from some people online as well, reference that and saying, hey, thank you for bringing that to our attention. We're going to contact our representatives. So I appreciated everybody doing that. Just remember, 243 was the Shooter Protection Act, basically saying the suppressor silencers are going to be legal in Alaska regardless of what maybe the feds do. And then Senate Bill 203 was just basically banning Glock switches, saying that handguns can't be automatic. Well, no kidding, right?
Yep. So, in other news, water's wet.
Right?
God.
Rain is falling. But let's talk about Virginia real quick, because their assault on the Second Amendment is ever going on, never ending. But let's see. Just this past week on March 9th, 2026, the Virginia General Assembly passed Senate Bill 749 and House Bill 217, sending them straight to Governor Abigail Spanberger's desk for her signature. She's actually, what are the Mothers Demand Action? She's one of those she's one of those anti-gunners anyways. This is another example of how huge metropolis areas control an entire state.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
Just Yeah. Richmond and Richmond.
Not only that, but the people that are running these things are just severely either misinformed or uninformed entirely. And then they're making
drastic. They say dumb stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, right.
Go.
I'm not going to touch on that.
Okay.
Because I think there's a difference in. No, we won't go on. I won't touch on that.
Well, fair enough. Then let me finish reading this. Maybe it'll spur something else in your mind.
No, I won't say
If
that.
Signing the law, which she's going to sign them. These bills would ban the sale, manufacture, import, purchase, or transfer of so-called assault firearms. I love that. And high-capacity magazines starting July 1st, 2026. We're talking about popular semi-automatic rifles like the AR-15, which millions of law-abiding Americans own for self-defense, hunting, and sport shooting. And those magazines, anything holding more than 15 rounds, would be off-limits for new sales or transfers, even though standard-capacity magazines often come with 20 or 30 rounds right from the factory. Now, don't get me wrong. The bills include a grandfather clause. So if you already own these items before the cutoff, you can keep them. But let's call it what it is, a backdoor infringement on our rights. It treats gun owners like second-class citizens, forcing us into a forced grandfathering scheme where we can't buy, sell, or pass down these tools of freedom to future generations. Meaning you can't even pass these down to your own kids. Virginia would become the 12th state to impose such restrictions, joining places like California and New York that have long thumbed their noses at the Constitution. Proponents claim this will curb mass shootings or violence, but we all know criminals don't follow laws. These bans target features like pistol grips, threaded barrels, or folding stocks, cosmetic stuff that doesn't make a firearm any more lethal. It's just feel-good legislation that punishes the good guys while leaving bad actors untouched. But here's a silver lining, shooters. The fight isn't over. In fact, it's just heating up, and the battlefield is shifting to the U.S. Supreme Court. Remember the landmark 2022 decision in New York State Rifle and Pistol Association versus Bruin? That ruling struck down restrictive concealed carry laws and set a clear standard. Gun regulations must be consistent with our nation's historical tradition of firearm regulation. No more balancing tests or government wish lists. If a law doesn't have a historical analog from a founding era, it's presumptively unconstitutional. Bruin built on the 2008 Heller decision, which protected arms in common use. That's in quotes, in common use for lawful purposes. And let's be clear, AR-15s and similar rifles are about as common as pickup trucks in America, or white Ford F-150s. Millions own them. And they're used every day for self-defense, not weapons of war, as the anti-gun crowd likes to spin it. High-capacity magazines? Of the billion or so magazines sold since 1990, nearly half hold 30 or more rounds, and three-quarters exceed 10. These aren't unusual or dangerous outliers. They're standard issue for law-abiding citizens. Since Bruin, we've seen a tsunami of challenges to similar bans. In 2025, the Supreme Court declined to hear a case on Maryland's semi-automatic rifle ban, but Justice Kavanaugh noted that AR-15s are in common use and likely protected. Last year in United States v. Rahimi, the court held a narrow ban on firearms for those under domestic violence orders, but it reaffirmed Bruin's history and validation test. Lower courts are split, some upholding bans, others striking them down, creating the perfect storm for SCOTUS to step in. Virginia laws, they don't pass muster. There's no founding era tradition of banning popular rifles or limiting magazine sizes like this. Expect lawsuits from groups like the NRA and Gun Owners of America, the minute Spanberger signs. Republicans in the Assembly already warned that recent Supreme Court rulings make these bills ripe for litigation. The future, bright for the Second Amendment. Bruin unleashes chaos in the courts with over 2,000 challenges to gun laws since 2022, but it's forcing judges to respect our rights. I predict SCOTUS will take up an assault weapons or magazine ban case soon, and when they do, expect these arbitrary restrictions to crumble. Arms in common use aren't up for debate. They're protected. Stay informed, stay armed, stay vigilant. Our rights aren't given by government. They're God-given, and we'll defend them all the way to the highest court. So that's my take on that. What do you think, Matt?
It's just a hysterically stupid rinse and repeat from what every other freedom-hating state likes to do, and just pushing asinine bills down the throats of the people that they're supposed to be representing. And when the masses are saying, we don't want this, they turn the cheek and look at what benefits them or benefits maybe who's supporting them financially or, you know, whatever the case is. But it's just, it's very frustrating. I'm glad I don't live in those states, but I really feel for them.
I think they can spend their money other way.
Yeah.
Somewhere else.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's things they can spend money on. But it's really funny when you look, is that I don't want to get, you know, women or men, but how many women fight against this or willing to sign this versus a man that's in office?
I don't understand. Well,
it seems like there's more women that are fighting for this than men.
For the weapons bans?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Weapon ban. Sorry, I can't hardly talk. Chuck.
I feel like a lot of the time, because...
How's that my fault?
You gave me your cooties.
Oh. Yeah,
here we go with the cooties. Yeah. It's COVID again in here. Now, I feel like what you're saying, I feel like there's some validity to it, because I believe that with these women politicians or people of some sort of power with a voice, they get complaints or concerns brought up from maybe someone's mother who lost a child to... Mm-hmm. Weapon violence, I'll say that, gang-related shooting, suicide, whatever the statistics want to show. And instead of looking into the reasoning behind it, they just say, okay, yeah, we'll push for a ban, or we'll push for restricting more and more and more until you can't get a hold of it, or it's almost impossible for you to.
And I would feel, I guess if I've lost a child to a shooting, I may feel that way too.
Yeah.
But it's really not the guns issue.
No, it's a people issue.
A people issue.
All right.
Yes, dear.
What you got, Mr. Matt?
Well, to flip that topic before we go into what I had written down, there's a few things I actually wanted to bring up. One, despite debates on firearms within the last few months, February 2026 showed over 1.2 million background checks for firearms and NFA purchases being made. So
nice.
Demand is still very high. Very, very high. I imagine a lot of those were with the $200 payment for the tax stamp going away, not the tax stamp itself. Mm-hmm. The ATF was used to processing about 1,500 tax stamps a week. And the first week of January, it was over 180,000, I think was the full report. And every week it's almost consistently stayed the same or only dropped about 10,000 applications. So that's pretty crazy to think that everyone wanted a suppressor, they just didn't want to pay the $200, which I completely get. I wanted a suppressor forever. I just paid the $200 anyway. But I think that's really cool. And then,
well, if you're buying a his or her, I mean, that's $400.
Yeah. I mean, it is like that is.
What would we pay? Yeah.
I mean, yeah, all things considered, it gets expensive really fast. If you're buying it for yourself, that's one thing. But yeah, like, getting my wife and I maybe a short-barreled rifle and then a suppressor on top of it. Now I'm looking at $800 for the two things together. Really gets up there. But another positive note too, there's a guy out there. His name is Brandon Herrera. He has a really popular YouTube channel called The AK Guy. He just won a seat in the Texas State Congress.
I saw that.
Yeah, that's huge. That is massive. Yeah. He's been trying to get that done for a few years now. Luckily for him, he beat, I want to say it was Tony Gonzalez, is who he was running
Not the
against.
Kansas City Chief guy.
No, not the, not the Kansas City Chief guy. A guy that was previously holding his position there, and he beat him, I want to say, by about a percent to a percent and a half, and it was about to go into another bigger vote with debates and everything, and then he dropped out because it came to light that Tony Gonzalez was being unfaithful to his wife and was having an affair with someone he was working with. And it's
How's that a disqualifier for a politician?
Usually it's not. But
it's normally an enhancer.
I think when you're
anybody in public service nowadays,
I think when you're at that low of a level, you don't get away with as much. I think it's when you're, 185 years old and actually sitting in Congress that you get some leeway. But I think at a low level state like that, they don't really,
there's even people
that.
In public service are banging their secretaries
yeah.
getting promoted. So
you watch the show Mad Men, that's all they're doing there.
All right. So what do we have going on for the next half hour?
I was
stuff on here you wanted to talk about.
Yeah. So I've had a lot of people reach out to me asking about over the years and or recently the last few months more than ever about do you want or would you rather build an AR-15 as your first 5.56 rifle or would you rather purchase one? And so I kind of broke down a list of pros and cons to both, as well as a budgeted list for purchasing.
Okay.
Are we getting ready to go on our mandatory break?
We absolutely are.
That clock is off.
I think it is.
It
yeah.
is.
Oh, yeah, it definitely is.
But I hear the music. All right. Hey, we have to go into our first mandatory break, so we have no choice on this one. We can't push it anyway, one way or the other. When we come back, we're going to continue on this conversation about building your first rifle and everything, so it'll be great. Stay tuned. Chuck, Cindy, Matt here at Shooter's Corner, KFAR 97.5, 660 AM.
Studio. You're listening to KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm Angelo Bavaro, a senior law enforcement source telling Fox News that the apparent shooter at a Michigan synagogue is dead. A local TV station also reporting that a vehicle crashed into the Temple Israel synagogue outside Detroit. No word yet on injuries. Attacks from Iran sending oil prices surging once again. That is despite world leaders pledging to release reserves.
The U.S. will tap more than 170 barrels of oil in the Strategic Petroleum Reserve as conflict with Iran has shut down the Strait of Hormuz, through which about 20% of the world's oil flows.
Fox's Jessica Rosenthal. And in a statement, Iran's new leader says the strait's closure should be used as leverage.
The recently appointed supreme leader said attacks would continue. He vowed to keep targeting U.S. military bases, demanding they're all immediately closed.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
The Anchorage Daily News reports the state's proposed 211-mile Ambler Road to a mineral district in northwest Alaska will cost more than $2 billion, according to a new report commissioned by a conservation group. Even that could be an underestimate based on much costlier construction estimates for other remote and lengthy Alaska road proposals, the West Susitna Access Road and the Western Alaska Access Road to Nome, according to the report by LNE Engineering and Policy. The head of the state agency developing the project pushed back on the report's conclusions Monday, saying it was premature to arrive at its cost estimate. LNE Engineering, owned by Alaska licensed engineer Lewis Epstein, is a consulting firm that provides services to conservation groups and Alaska Native tribes. The Alaska Wilderness League commissioned the study, she said. It was also supported by the Defend the Brooks Range Coalition that opposes the road. The Ambler Road will be designed to open a mining district containing copper, zinc, lead, and other minerals considered critical by the federal government for their economic and defense value.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
It's remote start season at Auto Trim Design. With our variety of CompuStar remote starts available, we are sure to have an option to fit everyone's needs. Enjoy many features like smartphone control with drone mobile, two-way rechargeable remotes, proximity unlock, additional security alarm, and so much more. With over 30 years of experience, Auto Trim Design takes pride in being CompuStar's only pro dealer in the interior. Contact us today to set up your appointment to have your remote start professionally installed. Stay warm with Auto Trim Design this winter.
Customized by Auto Trim Design.
When you love being outside in Alaska, wintertime is just another trail to more sporting opportunities. Gear up with Frontier Outfitters, no matter what it is. Small game hunting, predator calling, ice fishing, and more. You'll find what you're looking for. Guns, ammunition, optics, GPS, traps, snares, and the right clothes. Winter camping necessities as well, and a variety of tents and sleeping bags. Prepare for success. Visit Frontier Outfitters. It's the best start to your next outdoor adventure for your Alaskan lifestyle. Frontier Outfitters.
While your RV enjoys some well-deserved downtime this winter, treat your traveling buddy to some TLC at Price RV. You'll be road ready for spring RVing. Use your off-season wisely. Let Price RV inspect your appliances, repair cracked water lines and roof leaks. Price RV's advanced diagnostics quickly identifies any problems, prevent annoying drips, rattles, and hums before they become expensive problems. Be road ready this spring. Visit Price RV on Marble Court in North Pole.
And now back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
All right, welcome back, listeners. You're here with Chuck Indereen at the KFAR studios here in Fairbanks, and it is still a balmy negative 15. Well, let's check. Oh, no, we've dropped.
Negative 14.
You got 14? I got 16. Yeah. Yeah, we'll just round it to 15.
15. Anyway, no change.
We're at 97.5, 660 AM. Remember, if you have any questions or anything about anything we've currently talked about, just remember you can call in at 907-458-TALK. That's 8255. Or you can always listen to us live at KFARradio.com. Click on that big orange ball that says listen live. Or you can always listen to our archives, our past shows as well, by going to KFARradio.com, click on Shooter's Corner with Chuck Endereed, and scroll on down there, and you'll see all the archives. And you can just click on those, and it just starts streaming right to your phone. It's amazing technology. It's like the talking boxes or something.
It's magic. I still don't understand it.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like witchcraft or something. Yeah. Like, why is this thing talking to me? All right, so anyways, well, what were we – you were talking about – building rifles versus purchasing.
Yeah. So if you're just now tuning in, before we went and took our mandatory break, I was talking about how over the years I've been asked, would you rather build or purchase a 5.56 AR-15 as your first rifle? And I think it really depends on a few things. So built out a simple list for pros and cons for both. Overall, though, I would recommend first-time AR-15 purchasing. I would not build. I would probably just buy. And after we go over the pros and cons to both, I have a list of a few budgeted points and the prices for everything outside of ammunition that you could even look for. So maybe help you get on your path. But all right. So looking at purchasing an AR-15 from brands like BCM, Aero Precision, Daniel Defense, PSA, if you're into that. Some pros.
PSA is Palmetto State Armory.
Palmetto State Armory. Yeah. Pros to that, convenience and speed. You're going to a store or maybe going online. You can go through an FFL transfer when that's needed. And then because you're in that store, you can add your optics and ammo right there and start shooting the same day or week in good states like Alaska, same hour. You're not waiting for anything to be assembled. You're not waiting for maybe things to come in stock as you're building, all that sort of good stuff. The other part of that you get is a factory warranty and reliability. Most reputable brands offer a full rifle warranty, tested QC, and proven compatibility. It's less risk for the end user. You're not really forcing any issues into the weapon yourself because you're buying it pre-made.
All right, let's slow down a little bit here.
Yeah.
Let's talk about, because you keep saying 5.56,
yes,
right, which is the military caliber, if you will.
Yes.
I would submit to you, though, that people need to pay attention to that, because if they just buy a 223,
yep,
they need to understand that they cannot shoot 5.56, or at least...
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to get a round
there's
out.
There's a couple throating issues difference between a 223 and a 5.56.
Yeah.
If you buy a 5.56 chambered rifle, you can shoot 223 out of it.
Yes.
There's the key. So you're cross compatible.
Yep.
But if you buy a 223, you cannot shoot 5.56 out of it.
Yeah.
Now there's another chambering called the 223 Wildcat, mm-hmm, that allows you to shoot both as well.
Yep.
So just know that that's out there for the listeners. So I just wanted to throw that in there.
Yeah.
Because there's a clear distinction between the two.
That's a really good thing that you
brought
up. Spend
the money and get a 5.56, yeah, and then you can drop down to 223. There's no issues.
Yeah. So. And I would definitely. It's very rare that it happens. Usually it happens with some cheaper or very budget brands that you have an issue where maybe you're purchasing a fully built out AR-15 and the lower receiver is stamped with 5.56 or sometimes multi-caliber, just depending on sometimes Aero would have that if they have leftover stock. But a good thing to do is maybe pulling out your phone, turning on the flashlight, and actually checking the barrel markings to make sure. If it's your first time buying it, you want to be entirely sure and you're not paying a lot of money for it. I would just give it a once over, make sure it's actually 5.56 or whatever you're wanting to purchase, just to avoid, you know, a barrel exploding Wile E. Coyote style.
Yeah, we don't need to go down too far of a rabbit hole, but there is a distinct difference between the three types of calibers that are available. The two being the most important is the 5.56 or the 223.
Yes. But speaking back on the factory warranty and reliability, so when you go with a company like PSA, if you're buying the most budgeted and cheapest lines you can get. You can get an upper for $150 and then a lower for like a complete lower for another $150. That's $300 for a rifle, which if you just need something or maybe you want to practice on something, sure. But when you don't spend a lot of money and you're getting, you know, you're paying $300, I mean, that's really nothing. you become your own QC. You're going to have to start looking over things. And for a first-time rifle, I would not recommend stuff like that, just because you will be – they do have a good warranty, but you will be sending it back regardless. But nonetheless, purchasing, it's simpler for the beginner. No need to research compatibility, barrel nut threads, gas system lengths, bulk carrier group specs, or buy any of the tools, armor wrench, torque wrench, vice block, etc. It's great if you're new and you just want to train or defend. And then again, like we stated before, it's immediately usable unless for some reason there was a severe defect off the line. But the cons to it, I marked this wrong because I was looking at something and got sidetracked. But purchasing a complete AR, it can range anywhere from some of the lower options that would be acceptable, about $700-$800, and then it can go as high as you can even think of it. You look at, you want absolute quality, something that's going to last forever. You get like a Knight's Armament, but you're paying $4,500 at a minimum for a baseline AR.
Yeah, or a Noveski.
Yeah, no, oh my
like,
God.
Do you
yeah.
really need that? No, not for like a home defense.
No.
Like, a PSA or even, you know, a BCM or something like that is going to be
Smith & Wesson, more than adequate. M&P Sports, like those, they've been tried and true. But some of the cons again as well, limited initial customization. Yes, everything has some type of mounting system, but you're not putting everything that you've wanted into it. You're buying a cookie cuttered weapon, which you're still choosing what you want. But at the end of the day, you're going to have to make a compromise. Oh, I really want this, but I don't get it with this, which you can swap out later. But you're lacking that initial full customization. There's also a less ownership satisfaction to where when I'm purchasing this, yes, I'm buying it. Yes, it feels really good, but I didn't build it. And you know, that might give you a little more gust to building your second AR-15, whatever the case is, but you won't have that. And then potential proprietary parts. You don't really see that with AR-15s as much as you do AR-10s because you have upper and lower differences just depending on the pattern. But AR-15s, you don't have to worry about that. But it looks like we have a caller.
Yeah.
All right. Right?
The phone's working today.
Yeah, the phone's working.
Look at that.
And they hung up.
Not anymore. Oh, they're online too.
Oh, there you go. That's Cindy Should calling be on. Again, is it? Is that Cindy calling in again?
No.
No.
Hey, hello. Hey, you're with Chuck City and Matt here at Shooter's Corner. There, go ahead.
Hey, this is Thomas. Hey, on the AR thing, it is really tricky for folks trying to build them just because, you know, we're up here in Fairbanks and finding the right buffer tubes and finding the things that you want is kind of difficult. So
you're
right on buying just a budget-friendly version of an AR and then just working it. One thing, Radical makes a very inexpensive kind of a bare bones version that's a good place to start. The Radical AR. It's like $450 to $500 all done, and they're all over town. The other thing I would say is have the people really investigate whether or not they want a red dot sight, whether they want MBUs or they want, you know, open sights, or whether they want an LPVO. LPVOs really have come on strong, but just getting a simple budget AR and learning how to use it is really a good strategy. Just, you know, if you want to kind of get into that, it makes you a better marksman or markswoman.
Yeah.
Let's guys go.
As a woman who loves to shop, I kind of disagree with that. I believe you save your money and borrow maybe one of your friends, go out to the range with them, learn what they have, and save your money and get a good quality one that's going to last you.
Yeah, that's kind of a valid point. But if you have the opportunity to maybe try somebody else's, then you find what works best for you first before you pay that, you know, that whole buy once, cry once kind of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, you have got a point. Thanks for the call, Tom. But
ARs are kind of like a thing that once you get one, you'll get a couple.
That is true.
Yeah.
That is true.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're like Ruffles. They're like Ruffle potato chips, man. Like
bunch of Lay's, different flavors.
It's like suppressors as well, or like any other handgun as well. But to his point, though, and we're going to talk about this, I'm sure, about the makeup and the different components that could be added on there. We kind of alluded to that last radio show as well.
Cindy
over there pushing mics around.
At least she's not opening candy this time.
No.
But you don't want it. Have you heard of Radical before?
I have.
I had not. I mean, maybe I'm just that. Maybe that's just not in my wheelhouse.
But. They're very known to be an extremely, I would say, budgeted option.
Are they like a Ukrainian AK?
No. I'm not sure where exactly they're made, but I've seen them around in gun stores for as long as I can think of. I've shot a few of them, had problems with a few of them. I've seen other ones that run really well. I think it's right. Just a luck of the draw, kind of like a PSA thing if you're getting their budgeted line. So
kind of like buying a Ford?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, a Ford.
I disagree with that. I like Fords.
I've owned four Fords and
All right, so anyways, back to the guns.
We should probably go into our break.
Yeah, let's go into our break and then we'll come back and we'll continue on this conversation. So you're here with Chuck, Sidney, Matt here at Shooter's Corner at 97.5, 660 AM. Remember, you can always listen to us live at KFARradio.com as well. So when we come back, we're going to continue on this conversation about AR-15s. We'll be right back.
Auto Trim Designs Tint and Paint Protection Film Department is now open. Their professional installers are ready to keep your vehicles looking sharp and protected all year long. Auto Trim Designs self-healing PPF shields your paint from scratches and wear, helping your car stay flawless for years. And with their window films, it adds a stylish deep black color to your vehicle windows. It also provides protection from harmful UV rays, reduces glare, and increases privacy. From exterior protection to interior comfort, Auto Trim Design has you covered. Stop by today.
While your RV enjoys some well-deserved downtime this winter, treat your traveling buddy to some TLC at Price RV. You'll be road ready for spring RVing. Use your off-season wisely. Let Price RV inspect your appliances, repair cracked water lines and roof leaks. Price RV's advanced diagnostics quickly identifies any problems, prevent annoying drips, rattles, and hums before they become expensive problems. Be road ready this spring. Visit Price RV on Marble Court in North Pole.
What does it look like when your faithful friend in the driveway has an off day? Well, it looks like no fun, like bumming a ride to work, the store, rescheduling lunch with your yoga instructor, all because your four-wheeled pal is waiting for parts. We do our own routine maintenance, but our chariot depends on us to schedule that for them. Airboat and inboard service too, family owned and operated, keeping Fairbanks on the road since 1967. Rogers Auto Repair.
KFAR weather.
Highs around 4 above today under mainly sunny skies. North winds around 5 miles per hour. Lows around 25 below. Tonight, partly cloudy. Daytime highs approaching 2 above tomorrow. Mainly cloudy skies expected. Single digits above 0 Saturday and Sunday with a slight chance of snow Saturday. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
All right, welcome back, listeners. You're here with Chuck, Cindy, and Matt here at Shooter's Corner here at the KFAR studios in the city of Fairbanks, Frozen Banks, Alaska, where it's still cold as crap. And we're looking forward to thawing out. I got to tell you, man, it's kind of like a psychological mind game, though.
Yeah.
When you walk outside and you're like, oh, man, blue sky, it's sunny. And then you walk out there and it's like, no, it's freaking cold. Yep. And like, I'm not going to see anything until June now.
That's what happens. I go outside. I'm like, wow, there's no clouds. This is a nice day today. It should be warm. Yeah. And I realize it's not. And then you're slipping because the ice is slowly melting on the roads. Now you're just doing donuts in the intersection. It's good.
Or you're sitting in the car waiting for Cindy to come out of Michael's and it feels like a terrarium in there because the sun's just kind of blazing through and stuff. It feels good. Don't get me wrong.
It's a nice
greenhouse. Like, and then you step outside and you're like, oh, it's still 15 below.
Yeah. Yuck.
But it's funny, though, because I was watching, we were at Costco the other day, and I saw some people, just digress real quick. I'm walking around there, and I saw people walking around in shorts. And I'm like, yep, that's Fairbanks, man. Like, yeah. Once you do 40, 50 below, especially at 40 below for 4 weeks freaking straight, like, everything's warm after that. Yeah.
But like, did you see next week? We're in the negatives.
Again, I know. It's, like, stupid. Like, even our old-time friends we have, Ann and Dave, they were like, man, we haven't seen that since, like, 1971.
Yeah, well, UAF posted.
They grew up here.
Oh, yeah. Man. Yeah, UAF posted this. Historically, this is not normal. This should be, on average, yesterday.
There's nothing normal about it.
No, this is, it's outrageous. historically, it's been about 7 degrees this time of the year, so
all right.
I'm not liking it.
So anyway, Cindy looked that up, and Radical's out of Texas.
Yes.
And we had a kind of like a discussion offline. There was only one other manufacturer that you liked, Matt, I think, out of Texas as well.
Out of Texas, Sons of Liberty Gunworks. Yeah. They have amazing, amazing warranties. Their rifles are really well built. A lot of law enforcement agencies across the U.S. had switched to Sons. But people have had their houses burned down and their weapon gets toasted with it, and Sons will send them a new one for free.
Wow.
Or there was a guy that accidentally ran his over and they fixed it for free for him. Like, they do have a really good warranty program.
I kind of like that.
Yeah.
That's a company I'd want to go with.
Yeah. SOL.
SOL. Yeah.
Sons of Liberty.
Yeah. When they find out it was exactly your fault. You're SOL, sir.
Yeah. No kidding. Okay. So anyways, as you were talking about before, that sense of accomplishment because you built your own rifle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of. I don't know. I don't feel that way, though.
I think, well, yeah. But looking how many rifles you've had, I've had, Cindy's had, I think over the years, the sense of accomplishment goes away. But as a, like, your second AR, maybe it's your third one, whatever, and you build it by yourself and you go through all the issues that it has, you know, you're, oh my God, I didn't realize I put my gas block on upside down. Why is my gas tube hanging out of my hand? Like, you know, all that stupid stuff that I see a lot of people do with their first weapons. And then when they get it to run and it's actually running well, then they start to fine tune it. They get it to where they really like it. Like, that's that part I like, but it doesn't happen all too often, like, anymore for me.
Let me bring up a legal point on this. So what happens if I build my own rifle and let's say somebody breaks in my house and there's a shooting, I, you know, injure somebody. Do they come back on you because you built this?
No. No. Unless you did something that was so gross and deviated from what we would consider to be like a normal standard, then I would say that that would probably be an issue. Like if you're building something that was like, I don't know, a 12-inch cannon. But if it's just a regular rifle and in common use, then you would be fine.
Yeah, I just had to ask that in case somebody else was thinking that.
Yeah, I mean, but... Yeah, if you're going outside of the norm, then it's going to be scrutinized then probably. Yeah. But
don't put anything on there like smile for the camera.
Oh, yeah, that's the other thing too. And we've talked about that in past shows. Yeah, so not put like, hey, wait for the bang, wait for the flash, or you're effed or whatever, like that guy that law enforcement officer did down in Tucson, Arizona.
Yep. Yes.
He put it on his dust cover of his AR. It cost his department like $40,000 or $50,000 just in evidentiary hearings to argue that. Don't put Punisher skulls on them. Don't do anything like that that's going to let people think that like there was a certain mindset that you had that you're the judge, jury, and executioner.
Yep.
Because if you have that, maybe not so much in Alaska, I could see maybe down in Los Anchorage, but maybe not so much in Alaska, but if you were in traveling and under reciprocity in another state, dude, all bets are off.
Yep.
So,
but
you could potentially have yourself in a legal fight. And could it be like, argued away, yes, but just remember, the only people that are going to get rich out of that are the attorneys.
Absolutely.
So
someone's losing money somewhere except for the attorneys. But so the pros and cons for building an AR-15, I'll speed through them really quick so we can kind of get to our tier list. But pros, total customization, potential cost savings, and again, that kind of a sense of accomplishment. Cons, time and effort, having to do a little more research if you've never done anything like this before. Risks of mistakes and incompatibility. That's another really big one. Maybe you bought a 16-inch barrel and it's mid-length, but you bought a carbine-length gas tube. So small things like that. Or maybe just triggers aren't working well and you got to get the anti-rotation pins, which that's just a whole nightmare in and of itself. But you're also not getting a full warranty if something breaks on it, and it's a lot harder to kind of go through a warranty process on an individual part than it is for an entire weapon. And it can end up more expensive if you're impulse buying certain tools or things, shipping tax, whatever. You're not really
does impulse buying when he goes into a gun shop.
Yeah, no, never.
That never happens.
No, not like.
But you're right. Like, you can spend a lot of money, whether it's like, especially on buffer assemblies.
Yeah. Oh my.
Like we,
October, we
put that Atreus in.
Yep.
Like, it was like, oh, man, like a 1, 2, 3, we ended up like, but I just ended up buying like two of everything.
But look how well it worked out, because we know what we're doing. We were able to go through and self-diagnose what was going on. We broke out the Dremel. We were, you know, it's snowing outside and we're metal shaving away to get pieces maybe into tolerance. We're playing with all the different parts we have because we have spares and everything. And we got it to work.
Oh, yeah. Ran like a top.
So it worked out well. But all right, so we won't get into building your AR-15, maybe a different topic for another episode. We'll just kind of talk over the purchasing stuff. So this is what I'm calling the budget tier. So for the base rifle itself, this is just a grand and under, but I'm trying to stay right around that $1,000 mark. So one that has proven itself pretty well is the Springfield Armory, their Saint line of AR-15s. I haven't personally owned one. I know a lot of people who have. I've shot a lot of them. Never really ran into big issues, but you're looking at a 16-inch barrel. It's going to come with some features at that, even at lower price point. So it's coming with an M-Lock rail system, which is a...
I've ran one of these in one of our AR classes. No issues at all.
Yeah, and it's Springfield. If something does happen, they have a really good warranty. But you have M-Lock rails. It's got built-in sling points into the rail system itself. You have an enlarged trigger guard. So if you're wearing gloves, whatever the case, maybe you got some hog fingers you need to fit into something that's not mil-spec, that works too. The lower receiver on the new Saint lines actually have a built-in sling swivel point towards the rear, right by your castle nut. And then more companies are doing this now than ever, but you're not getting the old, like, standard AR-15 mil-spec stock with the older pistol grip. The Springfield Saint is going to come with the B5 system stock and pistol grip and about 2 to 3 mags included. For optics, it doesn't come with any outside of flip-up Magpul iron sights, so that's one less price you have to spend on.
It does have the rail on there because I was able to pop a Holosun 515 on there. No issues at all. And then you had the backup irons for like a lower 1/3 for co-witness if you needed it just in case.
But really, really nice that it does come with one. But then you want to, again, like we talked about, you want a light. So Streamlight, I would say, is a really good entry. That's, I'd say, where the bottom of the entry level should be for you. They're really great. They work really well. But the Streamlight HLX 1000, it's going to run you about $120. A sling, one of the cheapest slings I could find that is known, works well. I've actually used this before, the Ferro Concepts Naked Slingster. It's about $35. Additional furniture, if you wanted to, you get a vertical grip for the front. BCM's angled vertical grip, it's about $25. And then if you want an optic, Sig Sauer, the Romeo MSR2, it's their newer budget-tiered lines, but it's currently on sale for $89. It's not a sponsorship for Primary Arms or sponsor plug, but $89 is actually super awesome. And then you can go...
What do you like about that slingster, though?
It's,
I pretty much stay with, like, Blue Force gear or Larry Vickers, you know?
I have two Vickers slings. I like them, but the Feral ones, they're not as bulky, and I haven't had reliability issues with it, them tearing.
Are they wide enough?
They're about, I think it's 1-inch nylon webbing.
It sounds like wide ones because if you're like hanging all day in a class, like it just doesn't wear a groove in your freaking neck.
And that's why with that budgeted one, that is really cheap. You can obviously go on Amazon and get something that's way cheaper, but the reliability problem. Other things you can get with it, 10 D&H 30 round aluminum magazines with Magpul followers. They used
to be
D&H. I want to say they are a sub brand under Duramag, which makes really good AR-15 magazines. They've been a staple for aluminum for a while now, but those are $9 a piece. So all in all, with optic sling, magazines, whatever, you're looking at $1,279. So as a starter rifle, just over a grand, buying all this additional stuff, I think that's really good. And then really quickly, the next one, the BCM Recce 16. BCM is Bravo Company Manufacturing. They are a staple in the firearms industry for reliability. This is your mid-tier. It's going to be about $1,600. Comes with a 16-inch barrel, M-Lock rail system. It's got the Magpul PTR stock. It's got their own grip, which I run their grips on a lot of stuff. Ambi fire controls, enhanced Ambi charging handle, 2 to 3 BCM aluminum magazines. No optics included, but you can pick up the Holosun ARO with a 65 MOA circle dot, so something similar to an EOTech for about $250. Same Streamlight for $120, and then mentioned here, Blue Force Gear Vickers Combat Sling. It's about $75. You can get them discounted if you check. That was just off the rip.
And we mentioned in the past that at a minimum on your AR, you should at least have a sling, a light.
Optic.
Optic.
Yeah, some sighting system.
Yeah. For like any type of home defense or anything like that.
Yep, exactly. Or just all around. I mean, really, it's just the base. You can get 10 PMAGs, about $14 per for Gen 3s. So all in all, your entire cost for that would be $2,300. So grand more, but not bad.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that takes us to the end of today. So just remember, our ACHP classes are coming up in April. March is already sold out. So you can jump on that C4TrainingGroup.com. And then also remember, active self-protection will be coming to Fairbanks. Now, on that date will be June 20th and 21st. Go to C4 Training Group's page, and you'll see the link for that. Sign up for that great class coming from active self-protection here in June. So, thank you. Next week, we will have Amelia Dell and David DeWire on from TVSA Range, and they're going to be talking about their gun show and everything else. So, thank you for joining us. Bye-bye. Be safe.
You've been listening to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio. Brought to you by Price RV, Auto Trim Design, by Rogers Auto Repair, and by Frontier Outfitters. To listen back to this or any past episode, log on to KFARradio.com and click on the archive page. And thanks for listening.
News and conversation. Shooter.